3 a.m. Again, why did I ever think this was a good idea?
Welcome to the Rise and Run podcast. Join our group of Run Disney friends as we talk about running at Walt Disney World and beyond. We'll discuss recent runs, training, upcoming races, and surprise topics suggested by you, our listeners. Well, the alarm's gone off, so let's go.
Hi, my name is Zeb. I live in Brooklyn, New York, and you're listening to the Rise and Run podcast.
Live from Brooklyn, New York, Deb with the intro. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate you taking the time to send that to us. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to episode 131 of the Rise and Run podcast. As always, we are delighted that you're joining us. I'm Bob, and this lovely evening, I am here with John.
Hey, Bob. Jimmy the Cricket says, anytime you need me, just whistle.
That's great.
I was not expecting that.
That's great.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
I did too. In fact, earlier tonight, I was thinking, when it comes time to introduce, I'm going to have to introduce Jimmy. I mean, John. That's a classic. See, Jack, the good news there. Oh, by the way, let's finish up here. I'm here also with Alicia.
Hello.
With Greg.
Hey, hey, hey.
And with Jack.
In the words of John, hey, how you doing?
There you go. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'm doing great, Jack or John or whoever asked, or Jimmy. I appreciate it. Hey, that Jack, that takes the Mandalorian pressure off for a little while. You know, we got two classics now, though. I think that's good stuff.
Jimmy the Cricket. That's Jimmy the Cricket.
In fact, I get such a kick out of the beads that my friends have been giving me when I go down to the races that Becky and I have actually started making some of our own. So I have one that says Jimmy the Cricket, John, if
okay.
You want it. And I have one that says Mandalorian, Jack.
John, I have to ask, though, what did you type into that AI art thing in order to generate that image that you posted to Facebook?
Pinocchio and Cricket as gangsters.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, the thing is, AI scares me, but then there are these little moments here where AI is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. That's a costume for a future event.
Oh,
no
absolutely.
Doubt.
Now next week we need to generate some art of Mando in front of a DeLorean with Marty McFly. I can't wait to see what that's going to look like.
All right.
Okay, I'll work on that.
All right, friends. This week we had a guest, unfortunately, and this happens from time to time. It's just life. Scott is not going to be with us tonight. The author of the New Run Disney book had a problem come up. We understand. We'll get back to him later on. We think you'll be interested in that one. Tonight, however, March Madness, Rise and Run style, moves to the second round. We spend some time with our friends Brad and Maggie from Magic Bound Travel. And later on in the spotlight, we'll hear from Lisa, who ran her first ultra event.
Ooh.
We got some, yeah, she did, Jack. She did. You'll enjoy listening to that one. We've got some exciting news. Our friend Tom of Tutu Guy fame is joining the Rise and Run family. He has got a special deal for Rise and Runners. This is serious business, gang. This is a pretty good deal that Tom has decided to make available to the Rise and Run family. From his Stoked Metabolic Coaching site that he runs. Jack is part of that. One of his trainees right now. Maybe she'll tell us about it in a little bit, but we'll talk about that before we get into the race report spotlight. But it's a good deal. We appreciate Tom Ford, and we're really excited to have him in the family.
If you enjoy the Rise and Run podcast, please share us with your friends and to introduce them to the Rise and Run family. We want to share in their Run Disney journey. Please remember to follow us on Facebook, Rise and Run Podcast, and on Instagram, Rise and Run Pod. Check our YouTube channel and visit our website, riseandrunpodcast.com. If you have any question, comments, or race report, or want to introduce an upcoming episode, call us at 727-266-2344 and leave us a recorded message.
Friends, I don't know who's been doing it, but somebody's been spreading the word on the Facebook group, and we appreciate it because that thing is blowing up. there is an automated message it generates every time we get 50 new members. Well, it generated twice in 24 hours this week. So whoever's out there spreading the word, keep doing it. You're doing a bang-up job. Thank you.
We would also like to thank our Patreons who help support and keep the Rise and Run podcast rising and running. If you would like to join our Patreon team, please check out patreon.com/riseandrunpodcast. A couple of new features that we have up there in the last couple of weeks. Everyone who is a Patreon member got an early exclusive access to the podcast that Jack, Lexi, and Bob recorded down at the JG weekend in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. Also, the podcast version of our Zoom calls, and then the big thing lately has been those March Madness matchups that we will again be tackling in this episode. So for all of our patrons, thank you so much for supporting. And we do want to recognize Whitney. She is our newest member of the Rise and Run Patreon family. So thank you so much, patrons. We really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Jack, what's new on YouTube?
Nothing.
Hey, Jack, even though you don't have anything, I just want to make a real quick comment. I love the video from last week because
that's the one I wanted to talk about. Yeah.
You know, it again, I've been doing customized for I don't know how many years now, and I learned something new that especially when it came to acceleration gliders, I never realized that it was supposed to be, okay, a certain amount of time at long run pace and then a certain amount of time at, you know, perceived marathon pace. And then, you know, I think it was like marathon to either 5K or 10K or whatever.
Magic mile.
And then cresting off of that. Again, mind blown when I heard Coach talk about that. So thank you for putting up that resource. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And just as a reference, you guys, you can use that video as a reference as well as the one on Jeff Galloway's website. He also explains it there. And then I went ahead and put in a description of the exercises in the description box as well, so that way you have a kind of like a better idea. Because I know in the video he was saying, you're going to run to this post and you're going to run to this post. So I put in the description what more than likely you would have gotten if you were in customized anyways. So yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to comment and we'll go ahead and answer them as we see them come in.
Good stuff, Jack. May not be new, but it was exciting and interesting. We appreciate you doing it. Thank you. Let's take a look at the training calendar. Springtime surprise, my friends. I hope you're getting excited. Three weeks from the time you're listening to this, most of us will be at or gathering for the Springtime Surprise Expo. I love the expo. I love seeing everybody. 3 weeks away, it is training week 15 for Springtime Surprise. Kind of tapering down now. Long run this weekend is 4 miles. Looking ahead in the calendar, the next big event that's coming up comes up in 12 days. That's not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And that is registration for Marathon Weekend. Registration for non-Club Run Disney. Club Run Disney registration is now just 5 days away. So those are the highlights on the training calendar. Let's talk training just a little bit. I've got some lessons learned. You would, just as you were talking, Greg, about being in customized training so long and learning something new, and I agree with you. I tell Jeff Galloway and Chris Twiggs that I learn something new almost every time I talk with them. I have finally got it beaten into me. I do not like to dwell on running injuries. If you know me, you know I have some bad luck. I have a history. But I don't like to talk much about them unless I can think I can pass on a little lesson learned. And in this case, I think I can. While running the Skyway Bridge 10K, oh golly, it's 3 weeks ago now, I suffered a hamstring strain. I get them a lot. They date back to when I was playing baseball and back in the days where you'd tear your hamstring and somebody'd say, here, take a couple aspirin, shut up and get back in there. and I tend to be susceptible to these. Well, two lessons learned, if I might. Number one, if you have one available, you have access to it, go find a good physical therapist. When you have an injury like that that takes a couple of weeks and it's not getting any better, go find a good physical therapist. I have one in this area that I've used quite a bit. I was able to contact my primary care physician, describe my problem to her, and say, hey, look, instead of me coming in the office, will you just give me a PT referral, which she did. So I've gone to them, and they have been a huge help to me. So you cannot underestimate the value of a good physical therapist. The other thing I want to pass along is that for years, I've just been running. I've done the running miles on the training calendar, and when I see cross training or something like that, I just kind of nod and go, yeah. As you get older, you can't do that. You have to keep your muscles in balance, so you have to do some of the cross training. So now I am a regular at the gym working on strengthening hamstrings and glutes and other things to try and avoid those niggling little injuries that are slowing me down. And man, Jeff Galloway and I have a deal. We're both run until we're 100. So I got to keep in shape. Got to be able to do that to hang there with you. So there you go. Find a PT. They're worth their while. And don't ignore the cross training. Jack, how's your training going with Tom?
Yeah, so talking about strength training.
Yeah.
It's good. I just kind of want to put this out there. I've only been doing it, doing the program with him for about almost 2 weeks now. And I could start feeling some notices. Kind of, especially in my shoulders and arms, because I think they're just weak. But I will say, I think I'm learning more about what I should have been doing within these 2 weeks that I should have been doing within my training all along. I really think strength training is such a important part when it comes into running, because if you're just running, I mean, that's great. But you could also be prone to injuries if you don't strengthen certain areas of your body that are not something that you would normally use technically when running. I mean, for example, case in point, my Achilles tendons. I would have never thought to strength train, strength train those. And he has me doing them almost every single strength workout. And I haven't had any issues in the past 2 weeks, which has been great. And I could deadlift 115 pounds. I was really excited about that.
Yay!
when I have been on the program a little bit longer, I'm going to go ahead and do a before and after picture, and I'll let you know what kind of inch wise. I won't say my weight, but I'll go ahead and put some inch. That way you guys know some differences of what you may encounter while you're on the program as well, because you're what you may want is different than what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking to gain muscle, and especially in my core and upper body. So I'm expecting to gain weight. So the numbers on the scale don't matter as much
That's
as
right.
the inches around.
Yeah,
the areas. I can't wait to tell you guys the whole journey. And if you end up talking to Tom and want to do it, tell him Jack sent you.
Yeah, you can do that too. Well, like I said, hang on until we get to the race report, and we'll give you the details on what the offer Tom has for Rise and Run listeners. All right, Jack, thanks. Hey, springtime surprise 3 weeks away now. This is obviously, it's the last run of the Run Disney season. Very sad, but we still got, it's not here yet. But what we don't want to overlook is we have friends who may be going down to Springtime Surprise, either going to Springtime Surprise for their first time, or we may have friends going to Run Disney for their first time. In fact, I know we do. I know we have some. So what would you like to tell those friends who are heading to Run Disney or to Springtime Surprise for the first time?
It's a surprise.
That's it. All right, that's it. Drop the mic. It'll be a surprise. You'll find out when you get there.
It's going to be probably a lot warmer than the last couple of races you've been at. If you have not gone, if you're already a Run Disney, if you went to Marathon Weekend or Princess, it's going to be a lot warmer.
Mm-hmm.
To quote Allie, all three of these races will be followed up by, boy, that was a humid race.
Yeah, the humidity will most likely be up.
I can't come after that one. But I'm just going to say hydrate, 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 friends.
I just want to say take the time to really enjoy every aspect. I know I say that for all of the races.
As you should. As you should. That's a great thing to say.
It's super important, especially if it's your first, because you don't get it. You don't get that first experience back. So just take time and enjoy it and take some pictures because you'll want those memories.
What Alicia said.
Thanks.
To me, after experiencing springtime last year for the first time, I am convinced that if you are brand new to Run Disney, this is the race weekend to get involved with, because you know, it offers you the challenge. You get the full expo experience. You know, they even have yoga and everything like that. But the fact that the distances aren't too crazy. I mean, obviously, what makes this weekend unique is that until they change it, because they claim they said they can change it any year that they want to, is that, you know, the challenge is, you know, 3 days as opposed to two. But the fact that, you know, even if you're doing the challenge, you're totaling just 19.3 miles, it makes things a lot more manageable. I think it's easier to recover from as well, too. But Jack, you took the words right out of my mouth, though. The one thing that you do need to be aware of is the weather, that these are going to be the hottest races that you are going to run all year. So it is really important to hydrate. But I think also, you know, if you're getting introduced to Run Disney through this race weekend, I think it's great because obviously there's going to be lots of hustle and bustle at, you know, say the expo, for example. But that being said, though, I don't think it's going to be an overwhelming experience. You know, we have talked in the past in you know, race recaps about, you know, Wine and Dine or Marathon Weekend about how equally wonderful yet stressful the expo can be. I mean, I remember, like, yes, there's most likely going to be a virtual queue for the first day of, you know, the Run Disney merchandise. But I remember last year by like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, that virtual queue was turned off. And, you know, it's not wall to wall people, you know, you're not walking the warning track of the baseball field to go pick up your bib or anything like that. It's just, it's a very wonderful, relaxed paced race weekend. And that being said, it's a ton of fun too. And I'm especially looking forward to it because this is the first year that they are trying that special after party at Typhoon Lagoon, on Sunday evening. I know Bob and I are going to that, with a bunch of other Rising runners as well too. So, I think it's just gonna be a ton of fun, very chilled, very relaxed, and, it's going to be a blast.
I haven't bought my tickets yet for that. I need to do that.
Oh, yeah. Get it soon, because I remember the tickets for Wine and Dine, they sold out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next fall. They tend to sell out early now. But I looked today, they were still available. And besides that, Tinker Bob will be at Springtime Surprise.
Yeah.
The triumphant return.
I get such a kick out of that. I look forward to it.
Are you wearing that costume to the water park?
Ooh, hadn't thought of
that.
Oh,
my gosh. That would be incredible.
All right, let me think about it. No! hey, if you're heading down there for the first time, I'm excited for you. It is, as Alicia mentioned, it is a very exciting time. I hope you're excited right now. I hope you're counting down the days and hours and minutes until we get there. You know, we're looking forward to seeing you there too. I hope you understand that. If you find us at the expo or anywhere, please come say hello. We'll look for you before the race events. We'll describe exactly where we're going to be later on, but we show up in the same place before all the race events. We look forward to seeing you there. And we look forward very much to seeing you at our get-together on Saturday at 3 p.m. in the food truck area at Disney Springs. So 3 weeks, gang. 3 weeks, and we'll be there. Now, that springtime, we had a registration event today, a little bit more low-key than some of the other registration events. The virtual summer series registration went on today. Seemed to go fairly smoothly. I was chatting with our friends in one of our community groups, and we were able to help. There weren't that many in the group this time, and we were able to help one another out. I did notice, and gang, help me out here if I'm wrong, that the individual races right now are showing is sold out. The only thing that's open right now is the challenge, which is all three of the summer races, I believe.
That's nuts.
That's, we figured that would be like a sellout, yeah, especially with the Dole Whip challenge.
How much is it? How much is it? Because I feel like if you were to sign up for the challenge, as amazing as that would be with there being marathon weekend sign up beforehand.
That's true.
I feel like if you're trying to save up money, I would definitely put that money towards marathon weekend, just because, I mean, the prices for virtual, as beautiful as the medals are, because trust me, they are beautiful. I mean, if I had to choose between one or the other, it would probably end up being marathon weekend.
$176 for the challenge, $54 for each of individual medal.
Is it just the medals you're getting?
Shirts.
I don't think you get shirts for the summer series, Bob.
You don't?
No.
I don't think so. You get
didn't know that.
So you get an extra medal because it's a challenge.
Right, for the challenge.
You do the
right.
challenge.
And but they usually give like a little pin or something, right? Like
usually they give something, but I don't believe you get shirts.
Didn't realize that, guys. But thanks for correcting me on that. I didn't realize.
So
I was just assuming.
Like $175 for four medals that I'm not running in a park for. I mean, if you're doing it and you're able to, more power to you.
I understand it, Jack. I understand what you're saying, and obviously I tend to agree because I don't sign up for them. But if you don't have the opportunity to go, if you can't, you're not paying for airfare, you're not paying for hotels, you're not paying for meals at Disney World, and you're still getting somewhat the same experience.
Oh, yeah.
So for the challenge, you get four medals, the digital bibs, a keepsake, a Run Disney Virtual Series keepsake, and then Mickey Mouse ear hat snack bowl.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I may have to
That's
go.
That's a slight game changer. I want to see what this snack bowl looks like. Does it include snacks?
Yeah, there you go. Is it full? That's a good question. You got some folks who look forward to these, and I'm glad for it. If you enjoy these, I'm very happy for you.
And they're 5Ks, so they're very manageable.
They're all 5Ks.
If you're starting out and you think if you want to get yourself motivated to get going, the 5Ks are distance to go.
They are, John, and they kind of work well into if you are training for something else.
Yeah.
They kind of work well into that, so. So, look, if you registered for the virtuals today, we're happy for you. We're happy you got in. Hope you got what you wanted. If you didn't, they may open back up. You just got to pay attention. We mentioned this while we're on the subject of registrations. We mentioned at the top that we're now 12 days out from marathon weekend registration. 5 days if you're a Run Disney member. And we wanted to chat about that just a little bit. That's the big event of the year on the Run Disney calendar. It's exciting, but it's something to think about before you go in and just register for something like 48.6 miles in 4 days.
We're specifically talking for this one. Anybody who's wanting to sign up for Goofy, Dopey, the marathon, just be mindful before you sign up. Think about if you have a why and a support system for doing the training. Take your calendar before you start training and look at the allotted time that you have to train, and make sure that you don't have like huge vacations or kids' schedules that are going to get in the way, because it is a huge time commitment. And just make sure you look at it before you sign up so that you don't take the experience away from somebody else that might have been able to train.
Because I know like those simulation weeks usually run Thanksgiving weekend, the week before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, so, they do. Exactly when they
run. Right when you're busy with a lot of other stuff going on.
Yep.
And I'm just going to put this out there. Those, especially the Goofy Challenge and Dopey Challenge, having done ultras before, it is basically an ultra just spread across 2 to 4 days. And if you're thinking about, just know that you're going to have to put in the miles for it. It's not something you don't train for.
yeah.
Just know, like, for example, like one of your days, like you have your simulations. I mean, you're going to be probably doing the exact dopey simulation like a month and a half out before even doing it. So just kind of keep that in mind. That's just one weekend of training. It's not counting all the other simulations you might end up doing in terms of mileage.
And we're not trying to scare anybody off either.
No, exactly right, John.
You know, I mean, my first marathon was with Dopey. I mean, so it's doable. If you're got the base and you're ready to go and you know you can do it, that's fine.
Yeah. But that's a great point.
But if you haven't run a 5K yet, Dopey might be a little bit out of your ballpark.
I would say half marathon, though, because I went from a 5K to a half marathon.
Let me summarize, if I can. John's right. We are not trying to discourage anyone, but you're going to hear this a lot. Training for this starts in June. Training for the Dopey Challenge starts in June. It's hot. I don't care where you live. It's hot. It takes a lot of time. And if you're going to enjoy the weekend, you have to do the training. It's so critical. So Alicia's initial message is spot on. If you're ready to make the commitment, by golly, we are all for you. We'll be here for you 100% of the way. We'll be rooting for you and hoping we can help you out. Just realize that you're signing up for a big commitment. And I'll tell you, though, it's fun. If you can do it, it's fun. So look, that's coming up. Hope to see you then. All right, my friends, we started last week. Let's move forward. It is March Madness Rise and Run style. Oh, love the sound effects. All right. Last week, we went from 64 attractions down to 32. So this week, let's go from 32 to the Sweet 16. And let's start out in the Magic Kingdom division, with a 1 seed versus a 9 seed, the Tron Light Cycle versus the Carousel of Progress. Let's start with John.
Tron.
Alicia.
Carousel of Progress. It's a great Carousel. Big, beautiful tomorrow.
You have to sing it, Alicia. You can't sing it.
It's a great big, there's beautiful a great tomorrow.
That a girl. That's Greg.
See, I was going to do the singing thing, but Alicia did it so beautifully that I don't want to take it from her and let her shine in that moment. But you know, I love John. I love all the antics. I love Uncle Orville in the bathtub. But I'm going Tron.
Tron it is. Jack.
What was Carousel of Progress up against last week?
It was a 9 seed. It was up against an 8 seed. Let me tell you in just a minute. Tiana's Bayou Adventure / Splash Mountain.
And you got very, very offended.
Carousel of Progress won?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys. I do like Carousel of Progress. I think it's wonderful. I do love it. I love the songs. It's also a great place when it's hot out. You just go to it because you know you're going to be there for like 20 minutes. And also, I may have taken a nap or two in there.
Oh, you're not alone.
You just catch the back row. But I like Tron.
Yeah. So Tron here, 3-1, turning to the Patreons. The Patreons by a vote of 66 to 34%. Tron is the first team to move to the Sweet 16. Jack, you talk about people taking a nap in Carousel of Progress. I took the Marceline to Magic tour years back, and it ends at the Carousel of Progress. And the cast member who's directing the tour comments about the fact, this is the place where people come to sleep during the day. So,
that was Ellen's energy adventure for me.
Really? Oh,
that was so long.
Stupid. That's why. Yeah.
The Great American Adventure has the comfiest seats, though. Like, you want to talk about good nap, yeah. You just kind of scrunch on down, get your body ready for a nice nap.
You've identified a couple of really good places.
Funny story, my wife, and she's going to kill me for telling this story, she has fallen asleep in both the American Adventure and the Hall of Presidents, and can't remember which one is which and which part they're in. She's like, I've never been on that. I'm like, yes, you have. Oh.
That's amazing.
I know I've fallen asleep in American Adventure. I know I've fallen asleep in Carousel of Progress. Not sure about the Hall of Presidents. I don't think so, but I wouldn't swear to it.
100%. I don't even remember what the middle portion is.
I don't either, Jack. I think I've gone in there once and I was sound asleep.
Yeah, I feel so bad because my dad loves going there. It's a must-do every single time. And I get so excited because it's like, I'm going to watch it all the way through. And then somehow I fall asleep.
It happens. Yep. It happens. All right, let us move to game number 34. This time in the Animal Kingdom division, the fourth-seeded Kilimanjaro Safaris versus, and playing on the road, the 12th-seeded Journey into Imagination with Figment. We start with Alicia.
Jumbo, I'm going on safari.
Jumbo, everybody. Greg.
I will go to safari as well. Let's go save Little Red.
Oh, you just took my line. Great.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't worry about it.
Jack.
You use my words, Alicia. Jumbo.
All right. And John.
Simba won.
Well, the Patreons by an 84-16 vote make that unanimous. Kilimanjaro to the round of 16. Game number 35 in the Epcot division. The number 2 seed Test Track versus the number 10 seed Journey of Water, inspired by Moana. Greg, you're up.
Here's the thing.
That's Pelkey's line.
Yeah. So you know something bad's about to happen.
Something bad is about to happen.
Outside of seeing my daughter's initial reaction when she rode this for the first time, I'm not the biggest Test Track fan, and I'm really hoping that version 3.0 that's supposedly coming will change my opinion on this. So I'm going with Tafiti, and I'm going to Journey of Water for this one.
Journey of Water from Greg. Jack.
So I have to agree with Greg on this. I am more keen on, if it was the original Test Track, I probably would have said yes. But I'm sorry, but you didn't need to refurbish it to what it is now and then refurbish it again. Put some money into a new attraction. So with that being said, Moana's
Journey of Water is a new attraction.
Yeah, that's
John, what say you?
I'm going with Test Track.
Test Track for John and Alicia.
I'm also going with Test Track.
Test Track, so we're 2-2 here.
So we're going to overtime, Bob.
We turn to the Patreons. And by a 55-45% split, Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, moves forward.
No way.
Not the front door.
We got an upset here, baby.
Number
upset
2.
Upset City, baby. Love you, says.
Greg, virtual high five.
So that's our first number 2 seed knocked out of the tournament. Test Track is out. Better luck next year. Let's see where we are. Let's go to game number 36, which is in the Hollywood Studios division. This is our Cinderella matchup.
Oh.
Number 11 seed Fantasmic versus number 14 seed Walt Disney World Railroad. Start with Jack.
What? Well, you guys, I feel obligated to say Fantasmic again for reasons that I said last week. It is the place where Dave and I met, and we reenacted the whole entire show by the stroller pad when we were working one night when no one was looking, and it was magical, and I will forever remember that moment. So Fantasmic for me.
Okay. John.
All aboard.
Railroad time. Alicia.
Choo-choo.
It is good. I love the railroad.
Two railroads, Greg.
This is the second time tonight Alicia has stolen what I was going to say here. It's okay. But give me the railroad, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's three votes for the railroad. We know the railroad's moving forward, but for the record, the Patreons had Fantasmic 58% to 42%.
Wow.
However, the 14th seeded Walt Disney World Railroad playing an away game in the Hollywood Studios division moves forward to the round
of 16. Listen, there's always that one team that goes on a run. Double-digit seed always makes it to the Sweet 16.
You need that Cinderella story.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are the circa like 2002 version of Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, that's right.
Or George Mason or Shaka Smart and VCU. Okay, I will shut up with all the college basketball references now.
Okay, that's all right. But the 14 seed moves forward. Let's stay in the Hollywood Studios division for a matchup between number one seed Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance, and number eight seed Muppet Vision 3D. We go to John.
You have to ask, it's Star Wars.
No, I didn't have to ask. I was just being polite, John.
Okay.
Alicia.
I'm going with Muppets.
With the Muppets. Greg.
God, this is like asking which one's your favorite child, even though I only have one. oh, gosh.
It's hard.
Jim Henson, please forgive me. Yeah. Rise of the Resistance.
Jim Henson did create Yoda.
He did. He did. That's very true. And Frank Oz was the voice. John, I like where your head's at with this one. By the way, congratulations to Frank Oz, who's going to become a Disney legend at D23 this year. John, thank you for saving me. Yeah, I feel a lot better about this pick now.
All right, Jack. Star Wars or Muppets?
Pew, 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 Star Wars.
Sounding pretty Star Wars-y to me. 3-1 with the gang. The Patreons by 77-23 agree. The number one seed Star Wars avoids the upset and moves forward. Game number 38 is in Epcot division. Number four seed Soarin' Around the World versus number 12 seed playing on the road, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, God.
We start with Alicia.
Winnie the Pooh.
One Pooh Bear, please. Greg.
And these little beauties. I'm going with Soarin'. Soarin' the Tower.
These little beauties. Very good. Jack.
It's my dad's favorite attraction. I have to go for it. I'm soarin', flying.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm surprised your dad liked Winnie the Pooh, Jack. But
you know,
there's nothing wrong with Pooh.
No, not at all. I love Pooh Bear.
And in fact, it is a decent little ride. John.
Tigger's Bounce.
Okay, so we're 2-2 here, I believe. The Patreons, by an overwhelming 84-16, put Soarin' into the round of 16.
Now, I will say, if it was Japan's version of Pooh, then there would be no contest. There would be Pooh Bear all day long. But
100%. Pooh's Honey Hunt.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Never been there. Got to take your word for it.
Oh, okay. The reason why is because Tokyo's Pooh was Disney's first ever trackless ride. And it's like take Pooh Bear and put it on steroids. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's go to the Animal Kingdom Division for game number 39, pitting number 2 seed Expedition Everest against number 7 seed the Maharaja Jungle Trek. And here's where I start losing track. I think we're starting with Jack.
I think we're looking for Betty the Yeti on this one.
Betty the Yeti. Very good. A little trivia there. Betty the Yeti. Expedition Everest. John.
Got to go with Disco Yeti.
Another Everest. Alicia.
Ah, it's a Yeti.
And Greg.
I'll make it a clean sweep here.
Yeti unanimous, yep. Unanimous amongst the gang.
So you're throwing your hairband off, right, Greg?
Yes, yes.
Patreons agree, 87-13. Number 2 seed, Expedition Everest. Moving forward to next week.
You know what they should do? Really quick. I just have to put this in there. If Disney ever grabs all the hairbands, they should put them in a jar and do the guessing game. And whoever gets the most accurate number of hairbands in that jar should win a free ticket to Animal Kingdom.
It's a thought. It's a thought. Oh, let us look at we're game 40 in the Magic Kingdom division. That pits, and I got a feeling this is going to be a tough one. The number 3 seed, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, against the number 6 seed, Pirates of the Caribbean. And we will start with John.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
One Pirates. Alicia.
A Pirate's Life for me.
Two Pirates. Greg.
Okay, so here's the thing. Is I like Pirates in general, but Disney World's version is the worst version of Pirates. So I think I'm going to go Mine Train on this one.
All right. And Jack.
Ye be warned to go into Davy Jones' locker.
Ooh. So, an upset. And the Patreons agree. Pirates of the Caribbean moves forward. 73-27 amongst the Patreons, 3-1 amongst the gang. So the 6 seed knocks off the 3 seed, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Did you really think Captain Jack was going against Pirates?
Didn't think it through, John. I wasn't thinking. I'm just reading the script, you know. Somebody handed me stuff, I read it. Okay. Okay, friends, we are halfway through the 16 games in the second round. So let's take a little break here and let's visit with our friends and sponsors, Maggie and Brad from Magic Bound Travel. Hey, my friends, you hear us talk about them every week, our friends at Magic Bound Travel. But tonight, Brad and Maggie are with us. Hiya, guys.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
We're glad to be here.
Oh, it's always good to see you. Let's see what's going on in the world of Disney. Oh, I know. We're going to Disneyland. We've registered for Wine and Dine. We're going to register for Marathon Weekend pretty soon. What should our friends be thinking about in terms of booking travel and making arrangements for any or all of these trips?
Big springtime mood. So our team has been busy. We're kind of, at the time of recording, we're in that 30-day mark. So, you know, everyone that we've got booked, especially from Rise and Run, like we're getting all the final payments done. We're getting all the airport transfers, all the little logistics, the tips, the tricks, the strategy, all that kind of stuff for their racecation all figured out. And then I noticed something this week that I thought was really fun. I don't know if people are aware of, but when you're planning your park days, this weekend is perfectly aligned with Dapper Days. And I've never lucked out and actually been at the parks.
It's a bucket list for me too.
Your outfit is on the way, your bow tie.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so I have actually, I'm revamping my 10-miler outfit to be something kind of Dapper Day inspired. So yeah, if you aren't aware, you should just look it up on the internet, Dapper Days. But yeah, it's going to be Saturday. I think they're going to be taking over Epcot. Sunday, they're going to be taking over Magic Kingdom. So,
well, Brad, whatever Maggie ordered you, just let me know and I'll order the same and then we can.
Oh,
okay.
Double dapper die guys then.
Exactly. Yeah,
there we go. I'd love to do that, Greg. That'd be fun. I'll need support anyway, because I don't, you know, for me, I am, especially when it comes to races, I am what is comfortable and what works to complete the race, whereas Maggie,
he
obviously
just recycles all the old race t-shirts, and I'm the one that's exactly making up the whole ensemble.
If it's an old race t-shirt and if it doesn't smell, it's good to go for race day. That's the truth. I am not fancy at all. I'm very practical when it comes to dressing for races.
Also wanted to shout out a reminder, because I know a lot of us, especially, well, we're going to be over at French Quarter, are going to be kind of taking over, party crashing over at Port Orleans Riverside, your hot tub parties, because the Dragon is being drained right now. So
that's right. Yeah.
We will have access to your pool over there, but, beignets after every single race.
Which that also brings up something for people who are looking at booking for January for the marathon weekend. Stormalong Bay is going to be being refurbished, and that goes on from January, through May or June. And normally we would, you know, that would be a detractor, because so many people go to beach club, yacht club, you know, for Stormalong Bay. However, what we're seeing right now is some really good rates. They're really discounting those rooms and
makes
accommodating.
A lot of sense.
Right. So, and there's other pools that are there. I mean, there's the DVC pool that's on the backside of Beach Club. And
yeah,
we stayed
three other pools, three other hot tubs you can access.
And we stayed at Beach Club during last marathon weekend, and we accessed that, those back pools, and with a larger hot tub, because that's a requirement
great.
When I do Dopey. And it was just a fantastic experience. So we want to encourage people to maybe even look at Yacht Club and Beach Club, but know in advance that Stormalong Bay is going to be under refurb, you know, for marathon weekend through the continued race season, January through May.
So that's for marathon weekend, huh?
Marathon. Mm-hmm. Well,
marathon,
that's
Princess.
Marathon
Princess springtime.
Yeah.
Didn't they just extend it out to June or something like that? I thought I saw an article that they added a month onto it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
they sure did.
And the pool at French Quarter is not due back, because it was out when I was there for Princess.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember when it's supposed to be full. It's definitely under construction right now, so it will be several months before it's back up.
I'm set for Disneyland. I'm set for Wine and Dine. I need to contact Missy about marathon weekend. So you're saying Yacht Club, huh?
If you want some better rates for Yacht Club than we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great location if people are traveling with family and they have their cheerleaders
in tow location.
And you want to step out and they can cheer and then they can go right back to bed. So,
yeah. You know? I mean, the fact that you can walk to Beaches and Cream and get the kitchen sink whenever you want isn't a half bad deal.
So speaking of just being aware of some of the hotels, so another big one that we know of is for Wine and Dine is, you know, a lot of people will want to be at the Magic Kingdom Resort Loop, which is amazing. You know, most nights you can go out at the beach and watch the fireworks or whatever. But with Wine and Dine Expo being on Halloween, 5K being the next morning, our guests that are staying anywhere in that area just need to be aware there's going to be a really late night Mickey's Not So Scary Party fireworks show going off at 11
Bring your
o'clock
earplugs
at night.
And eye shades.
So we talked before this. I told her the most mom comment to make. and because I get excited about that. You know, guys, I max out my time. So if there's more stuff happening, especially stuff that I can see if I'm staying at Poly or Grand Floridian, I mean, more to see right outside the door from my room and then go to bed, you know, the night before the race. I love it. And just to know, like, Mickey's Not So Scary, as well as, I'm going to throw it in, because so many people shut this down and don't consider it. But once you do, you'll be hooked. Halloween Horror Nights. Add on a little bit of time, either before or after your racecation, because they're going to be late nights, so you probably want to. I'd probably do it afterwards. Yeah, if it's still going, it might
It'll probably go through that weekend.
It might go through that weekend. Yeah. But
they have a Universal, right, Brent?
That's a Universal Orlando for Halloween Horror Nights. It is one of my our favorite events of the year of anything. So consider
that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It hands down.
It's incredible.
I mean, we're Halloween fans. We're really big. So that just elevates it to the next level. And we take our kids every year. Our kids are teenagers. There is an age appropriateness for Universal's event, of course. But it is wonderful. And I just want to put that on people's radar, because if you're going to be down there, might as well enjoy the full offerings of an October, Halloween time for Orlando area, for both Universal and Walt Disney World.
That's an excellent suggestion.
Hey, Brad, Maggie, quick question for you as we wrap up Wine and Dine here is, I know Disney has been historically getting a little bit earlier and earlier with room discounts. Full rates get released, and then usually a couple of months ahead of time, there's the Florida resident and the annual pass holder. When do you predict that we might see any drops in prices for the Wine and Dine season?
So Wine and Dine, with that, it usually is the key word, follows the quarter, like the fiscal quarter. So that's in their, that's technically in their Q4, their fiscal year. So it would probably be in the summertime, but as we already found the last couple of weeks, the rules are being tossed out the door
because of Epic Universe,
because of what is happening up the road. And sales are lower during the summer. So, hey, ding, 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 if you're looking for your summer and you can stand the heat in Florida, there are some really great rates for Disney World right now. So they are tossing stuff out there earlier, trying to get people to go. So I would guess we're probably in late spring.
But don't wait to grab a room.
Those are one of my favorite emails to get from your wife,
right?
Is, hey, Greg, the discounts just got released, so you can save this much money on your current room that you have booked.
Exactly.
Or we can upgrade you for this price.
That's right. Exactly right. Right. Because right. So many people take advantage of that upgrade where, for the same price or similar of what you were paying, you can jump into the next level kind of resort, moving from a moderate to a deluxe. And that experience and the amenities are so different. And especially for people who haven't experienced a deluxe, which we find once guests experience a deluxe resort, they typically always stay in a deluxe resort continuously. Just because it's
that next level. Never happened to me.
It didn't.
Trust me. Yeah.
What's the lottery up to? Never mind.
I was going to say, depending on available resources.
Those are kind of the highlights for the race weekend. I am just going to put a little plug in there because I was actually doing some cruise quotes earlier today. And I'm still really sad that we never got to do the Castaway Key Challenge while it still
officially
existed.
Yeah.
Officially. I mean, we've got the medal the rubberized medal or whatever it was.
So I just started looking at stuff today for someone and realized that you could actually make yourself an unofficial Castaway Key Challenge. There's a Disney Wish 4-night Bahamian cruise leaving that Monday right after your marathon.
Yeah, there is.
Take it easy. Or, this is really tempting, but I'm totally going to try to go for Dopey again, is if someone's doing the 5 or the 10K and they can pop over to Port Canaveral on Saturday, we still, at the time of this recording, now who knows, it might have changed, is we can get people on the new Disney Treasure leaving on that Saturday the 11th for a 7-night Western Caribbean cruise. So
that's nice. That is.
I was shocked to see that there was still some availability.
That is a surprise, being a new ship. It's a twin ship to the Wish, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Had a chance to get on that after Dopey, not 24, but 23, which I didn't do Dopey. I just did just the marathon and the 5K.
It will be the same design as the Wish, but
yeah,
watch some of those things. It's like, and it's totally appealing to us and our age, is, the Jungle Cruise Lounge and the
right
Mansion and the Lion King and like the new that stuff that
the Coco restaurant,
yes.
Haunted Mansion Lounge. Yeah, it's gonna be epic.
It's always fun. Royal Caribbean, get anything going on?
Oh my gosh, always got something going on. So, yeah, I mean, of course, I don't know if anyone has not heard of the Icon of the Seas. That's pretty still big deal, those 7-night sailings. But what I'm super excited about, and it's coming soon, because Port Canaveral is really the easiest, you know, for drive market to get to, or to do your Universal or your Disney and then go hop on a cruise at Port Canaveral, is the Utopia of the Seas, which is going to be like 3- and 4-night perfect weekend is what they're calling it. And so that starts in June of this year.
And Royal Caribbean has several specials. I mean, they release specials all the time. So really working with an agent that is getting, you know, updated specials is really key there. I mean, we see stuff drop multiple times a week. They constantly roll out some things. So between this recording and when it's actually released, there's no doubt Royal Caribbean will have 3 different new offers.
I'll be darned.
So we're going to hold back on what's available now because I know they're about to roll out.
No, that's fine. That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, so when the Rise and Run cruise gets set to sail,
there you go. Yeah,
I still a dream of mine.
Mine too.
That'd be so much fun.
I could picture it now. Bob dressed in all whites, captaining the ship. It'll be a beautiful sight to see.
Captain Stubing,
dopey medals draped around his neck at the bow, holding out, and I'm the king of the world pose.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah.
It's fun stuff. Good stuff.
Brad and Maggie, I heard in 2025, check-in day, you get a free pass to the water park. Is that happening?
Well, here's the cool thing is that we can book 2025 now. And this is the earliest product release for Walt Disney World that we have ever seen. And so we want to encourage people to jump on 2025 as soon as possible, regardless of what any special amenity and available, but they have added that feature to any booked 2025 package. Your first day of stay, you're able to get into the water parks for free. And so it actually adds on another park experience and is an amenity of your package that we feel is just an incredible bonus in addition to the 2025 packages that we're booking right now.
So if you have a room only reservation, if you have a room in your annual pass holder, if you have a room in your military tickets, or if you have a package,
but an amenity for on property guests, because obviously yes. Disney wants people to stay on property at one of their resort hotels, and for Run Disney folks, what a great way to begin your Run Disney racecation at the water parks. Go ahead and relax your legs a little bit in a bigger pool in a smaller park and really have some fun there. Those are often the water parks are 2 of the untapped resources and amenities that often go overlooked by a lot of our guests.
All right, my friends, look, one of us usually wraps it up by telling friends how to get in touch with you. But since you are here, why don't you do the honors, please?
All right. So you can always find us. We're super active on social media. So Instagram, Magic Bound Travel, and Facebook, Magic Bound Travel. And then our website is always www.magicboundtravel.com. If you want to find the information specifically around the Run Disney packages that we offer, we actually have a dedicated site for those. So if you just go to our menu options, you'll see Discover Disney and Discover Run Disney.
But our preference is for you to build a relationship with one of our travel advisors, where you can just not even worry about any of those. And you're just emailing them or texting them or giving them a phone call, because we really want to build relationships with our clients, long-term relationships, racecation after racecation, vacation after vacation. And so if you haven't already established a relationship with a travel advisor with Magic Bound Travel, that's something that we want to encourage you to do.
And there are a bunch of them in the Rise and Run family.
They are a ton. Yes, there are.
Sure are. Brad, Maggie, thanks. Appreciate you spending the time. It's always great. And we'll hear from you again in the not too distant future.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Always a pleasure visiting with Brad and Maggie. Glad they had time to drop by. I look forward to seeing them at an upcoming race. I can't remember if they said they were going to be with us in springtime or not. Yeah, outstanding. Outstanding. Look forward to them there. And check them out, guys. All of our friends who have gone through Magic Bound Travel have told us that they've been treated very well. And as we mentioned, all of their agents who deal with Disney runners are, in fact, Disney runners themselves. So they're there to help you and doesn't cost you anything. Let us return to the second part of round two. We are up to game number 41. We're in the Magic Kingdom division. It is the Battle of the Mountains, a 4-seed and a 5-seed, Space Mountain versus Big Thunder Mountain. And I'm going to start with John.
This is a really tough one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I might have to go probably one of the first roller coasters I ever went on, Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. Alicia.
Hold on to your hats and glasses, folks, because this here's the wildest ride in the universe.
Third time, Alicia. The third time tonight.
You have like
Hamlet. Best removal.
Good one.
Greg, you're up.
Big Thunder.
That's all you had to say? Just Big Thunder?
Yeah, just Big Thunder. Because Alicia's taking all my material in there.
So good.
Jack, what say you?
I'm going to go with the place that my ultra marathon, Bryce Canyon, this ride was based off of.
Oh,
Big
really?
Thunder Mountain. Oh, yeah. I could say I ran through I have to show you guys a picture of it, but I got to run through the area that was inspired.
Cool.
Very good. Very good. Well, Big Thunder Mountain moves forward. The Patreons agree 61-39%. Space Mountain trivia. My first trip to Disney World was in 1974. The only thing open was Magic Kingdom. When you rode the boat from parking to Magic Kingdom, they actually had a cast member on board who was welcoming you and talking about this and that. And they pointed over to Space Mountain on the right and told us that if it was a real mountain, it would be the second highest mountain in the state of Florida. I think that's probably not right, but it's very close. It is very close indeed. It's just under 200 feet. Above sea level, Space Mountain.
And if we're giving out facts here, I read an article about Big Thunder Mountain that if you had kidney stones, you just got to sit in the very back row and your kidney stones are most likely gone. I read an article about that.
All right. Big Thunder Mountain moves forward. Let's move to game number 42, Animal Kingdom Division. Number one seed, Avatar, Flights of Passage versus the number 9 seed, Spaceship Earth. Alicia, you're up.
Avatar.
Greg. Notice, Greg, that all Alicia said was Avatar.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're up.
I think I'm ready for a one seed to go down. I'm gonna thank the Phoenicians and go with Spaceship Earth.
Thanking the Phoenicians. Spaceship Earth. Jack.
And I think you're wrong, Greg. I can't go with the Avatar.
Jack goes with Avatar. What say you, John?
I'm going with Greg here. I like Spaceship Earth here.
Ah,
it's good, so though. It's a good ride, yeah.
Also good place for
a nap. It's a classic. I don't recall napping on that one, but it's a classic. I use that for a benchmark when I walk into Epcot. If the line for Spaceship Earth is 15 minutes or less, I know it's probably not real crowded in the park. Doesn't always work. We need to go to the Patreons. The Patreons by 69-31. Stick with the one seed, Avatar.
Oh.
Flights of Passage moves forward. Game number 43. We are in the Epcot division. Number 3 seed, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Number 6 seed, Living with the Land. Greg, you are up.
Ooh, another tough one here. I'm going to go with Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. Jack.
I'm Living with the Land on this one, Bob.
All right, Jack. Living with the land, John.
I'm going with living with the land.
John's living with the land. Alicia.
I have to go with the first ride I ever went on, which was living with the land.
3-1. The Patreons went with Ratatouille. It's not enough. It's not enough to avoid the upset.
I mean, I'm not mad about it. I just, you know, when you got to pick, you got to pick.
Living with the land's moving forward. We are at game number 44 in the Hollywood Studios division. Another 4-5 seed. Those tend to be tough. The 4th seed, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and the 5th seed, Slinky Dog Dash Jack.
Wow! I can't sound like Mickey Mouse. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to give up on that.
It's Runaway. I
thought
you stubbed
your toe. I thought
so. He does like, whoa, like that sound, isn't it? The very beginning.
He does. Think he hit that track switch.
Oh, no.
Mickey and Minnie from Jack. John, what say you?
Going with Slinky Dog Dash.
Slinky Dog. Alicia.
Well, as much as I miss Great Movie Ride, I'm going to say I'm going on a picnic with Minnie and Mickey.
Okay. Aww. Greg.
Hang on. I'm going with Slinky Dog.
Ooh. 2-2 here. Patreon, 60%, 40%. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. 4th seed survives. Staying in Hollywood Studios. 2 seed. Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. 7 seed. Toy Story Mania. Let's start with John. Never mind. I know what John's doing. Let's move to Alicia.
What? I'm going against John and say Toy Story.
John, you can say Toy. You can say Millennium. You can go. You can say it.
I could say Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Okay. Alicia's with Slinky. I'm sorry, with Toy Story Mania. Greg.
I am going to go with the sore bicep, and I'm going Toy Story Mania.
Toy Story, Jack.
I would like to accept the challenge, Alicia and Greg, because I will beat you in Toy Story.
Bring it, Jack. Bring it! Bring it. I will cook you. I will cook you so bad.
It's biceps by Tom, so watch out.
All right, friends, our second number 2 seed is out of the contest as Toy Story Mania. Patreons went Toy Story 71-29.
Oh.
Doesn't shock me that the Patreons went Toy Story, but that's a big margin.
It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
We will keep note of that, John. So in that division, yeah, we're going to have a 7 seed versus a 14 seed in the next round.
All right. To appease John, Jack, you ready for this one?
Oh.
You and I. Springtime surprise.
Okay.
Mano a mano.
Okay.
Playing Toy Story.
Done.
Loser buys winner a Wookiee cookie.
Virtually shaking hands.
Yeah. That was well done. We need to go visual on some of these. That was very well done. All right. Let's go to the Epcot division, where we match up the number 1 seed, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, against the number 8 seed, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. And I think we are with Alicia.
I'm going Guardians of the Galaxy.
Greg?
What do they call themselves? Epcotians? I'm going Guardians.
Guardians from Greg. Jack?
People of Earth? I don't know if that... I can't even think of a good line. It's so sad. We're going to go with Guardians.
Well, we're both grabbing stuff from the queue there, I think. John?
We got to go with slam dunk here, Guardians.
Yeah, it is a slam dunk. And in terms of slam dunks, this was the biggest rout in this round from our Patreons. 97-3, Guardians of the Galaxy, the number 1 seed, moving forward.
I appreciate the 3% that voted for Monsters, Inc. because I love that ride, too. I enjoyed it.
I was that guy one time. I really got a big kick out of that. That was a lot of fun.
He could have retired off the sticker, but he didn't.
I know. But some little kid got that sticker, and his eyes were real big around.
He's going to college now.
Maybe. Well, it made me feel good, and if that's what he's doing with it, by golly, I'm fine with that. Let's go to Animal Kingdom Division game number 47. The number 3 seed, Dinosaur, versus the number 6 seed, Gorilla Falls Trail.
Bob, just ask me first, because we know what the votes are of the other three.
Greg, I think we're at you anyway, so let's start right there.
I'm going to give the sympathy vote, because based on that news that dropped last week about the backstage permit for construction of Imagineering on-site and storage, I'm going to go with Dinosaur, because it is, like the dinosaurs, not long for this
days earth. Are numbered, yeah.
Because it's the right answer, Greg.
Jack, what say you?
Left, right, left, right.
Dinosaur. Another dinosaur vote. John.
That's it. Dinosaur.
Dinosaur. I'm not going to ask Alicia. Yes, I will, Alicia. I'll let you, just like I did last round with John, I'll let you say it out loud.
Incoming, it's a slam dunk.
Dinosaur, this was close among the Patreons. The Patreons went Dinosaur, but only 53-47.
Ooh.
But Dinosaur,
wow.
Dinosaur to the next round. Looking at Animal Kingdom Division, all four top seeds are still in there.
It's because it's the best park.
Animal Kingdom's chalk, baby.
Last game in this round, game number 48, Magic Kingdom Division. Ooh, friends, this was probably going to be, well, no editorial comments. We start with Jack. Jack, number 2 seed, Haunted Mansion. Number 10 seed, Transit Authority People Mover.
Ooh, ooh, we moving, we cruising on that People Mover.
People Mover, John.
Come on, foolish mortals, you know where to go.
Okay.
It's only room Mansion. For one, John.
One more.
One more.
Alicia.
This is really hard for me, but I'm going to be the 1,000th person and go with Haunted Mansion.
And Greg.
David Bennett, I am so sorry.
Don't you dare.
Please move into the dead center of the room.
No! It's the best ride in Magic Kingdom.
But Haunted Mansion?
No, no, John, no, no.
Haunted Mansion. By an 84-16 vote, the Patreons agree on Haunted Mansion. So let's take a quick look here. In Magic Kingdom, we've got the 1, 2, 5, and 6 seeds left. Epcot's got the 1, 4, 6, and 10 seeds left. We already mentioned that Animal Kingdom had the top 4. And in Hollywood Studios, we have a 1, a 4, a 7, and a 14. So it'll be fun next week. We're going to try to wrap it up next week, friends. We're going to go from 16. Shouldn't take us too long. Go from 16 down to 1. Hope you're enjoying this. We're obviously having a lot of fun doing it. Hope you're enjoying playing along with us. We actually have our buddy Mark put a bracket up so you can follow. You can write in your answers, and next week when we're all done, you can tell us why we were wrong. We're really having fun with this. I'm already thinking about next year, and I think next year I want to go with restaurants, I think.
I like where your head's at, Robert. And just wrapping up this this awesome second round of the Rise and Run March Madness, and speaking of attractions, I just wanted to give a quick update. I want to personally thank each and every single person who has made a donation so far to my Springtime Surprise Attraction Challenge that I'll be doing in order to raise money for my Wine and Dine challenge bib in honor of Give Kids the World. The registration in terms of this particular challenge is still open for a few more days. It'll be open through Sunday. But as of right now, I am up to 7 rides on the People Mover, and I am up to 4 rides now on the Magic Carpets of Aladdin.
Good.
Now, what's scaring me is that there are a few listeners out there, you know who you are, who are also trying to come up with even more exciting challenges of having me stand in front of the camel at the attraction entrance and getting drenched by its spit. So if somebody can come up with something super creative on that front, I may entertain it. But for those of you that have donated, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And if you're still interested in donating, the link is posted on our Facebook page, but I can always do a one final reminder post maybe a day or so after this episode drops. So, but again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for benefiting children to go on a vacation of a lifetime and supporting the Give Kids the World Village.
Good stuff. The Rise and Run family never disappoints.
No, they do not.
And we appreciate you guys. Let's see, my friends.
I was going to say, you know, you just opened yourself up to a whole can of worms to the creative.
Yeah.
Listen, if it means raising money for the kids, I will entertain the idea.
Okay. I need you to wear a Giants jersey.
Oh. Well, it's fine. I'll wear a Saquon Barkley jersey. It'd be great.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Hey, moving along, friends, I want to remind everyone that the roll call for Springtime Surprise is now only a couple of weeks away. If you don't have your name in the race report for that weekend, please get it there. If you can add it yourself, great. If not, just go to the featured section on the Rise and Run Podcast Facebook group. Look up top there for the race report. Leave us a note that says you'll be running Springtime, and we'll add you so we can call your name during the Springtime roll call. Other announcements. Gosh, it's been a little while now, but our friend Fitz Kohler was on the podcast with us a while back. Real vibrant personality, race announcer, cancer survivor. A lot of fun to have around. She is participating in a local Dancing with the Stars event. Gosh, I forget where she is. But if you are so inclined, she's looking for donations. Go to her website, fitzness.com, and looking for her Dancing with the Stars link. She's a lot of fun. She's a good friend of the podcast. What she's up against is she's got a couple people. She's trying to be the person with the most donations. She's pretty well known. She's drawing from the rank and file, but she's up against folks who are getting $500 and $1,000 a pop donations while she's trying to do it with $5 and $10 stuff. So, like I said, if you're so inclined, it's a good cause. Fitzness, FITZNESS.com. Our buddy Pam from Fluffy Fizzies is ready to take orders for Springtime Surprise. Check out her website, fluffyfizzies.com. Don't forget to use the code HAPPYRUNNING to get 10% off of your order. Hey, I know I've mentioned it before, but I want to make sure you don't miss it. Springtime Surprise Meetup, Saturday, the food truck area in Disney Springs. That is the area, if you're walking out of the Orange Garage, head to the balloon and turn left, right back there behind Starbucks and right off the lake. It's a great area. I understand there will be cookies there. In fact, Becky was talking about them today, so we'll have cookies. We really look forward. We have a great time. We hope to see as many of you there as possible. Of course, we understand you're on vacation. A lot of you are there with your families. Not everyone can make it, but we do hope you get a chance to stop by. So we'll be there 3 o'clock, probably be there a little early. We'd like to take a group photo right around 3:30. And the last couple times we've been there till 4:30 or 5 o'clock. So we just have that much fun. And I am thinking of bringing our recording equipment with us, and maybe we'll record at least a little bit of a podcast while we're there. That might be something to look forward to. Speaking of looking forward to upcoming episodes, episode 132, we have, we're not really sure what we have for episode 132 right now. We have some planning to do. One thing I know we have the final rounds of the Rise and Run March Madness. All right, we finally got here, my friends. I've been teasing it throughout most of the episode. We are coming to that point, the race report, that is brought to you now by our friend Tom Stokes at Stoked Metabolic Training. You know him better as one of the two guys. Tom is happy to be part of the Rise and Run family, and he is offering on his personalized training a $50 discount to Rise and Run members. To get that discount, go, and we'll put this in the show notes and we will pin it to the top of the Facebook group also. It's stokes.fit, stokes.fit / Rise and Run Coaching. We'll hear more from Tom in the next coming weeks. He'll tell us a little more about the program, but we're excited to have him with us and we think it's a great deal. Okay, my friends, it is time for
the race report.
Let's begin in the Outer Banks of North Carolina for Blackbeard's Revenge 100. Our buddy Jason tackled his first ever 100-mile race. Jason, up to 5 inches of rain and 60-mile-per-hour winds in the forecast. So the race director had to make some last-minute changes to the event. Instead of a point-to-point, this one had to become an out-and-back. So what happened, and Jason, a lot of guts on this one, because this was a tough, tough day. What happened to him is that as he was heading out, and it was time to turn around, the front passed through. Now, when you get frontal passage, typically the rain stops, but the wind changes direction. So he's going into the wind, going out, the front passes, the wind changes direction, and he is truly now running into the wind both directions. The wind's actually picked up. It's on the Outer Banks or close to the Outer Banks, so it's picking up sand, blasting sand at the runners. The wind chill now, as the cold front comes through, drops to 30 degrees. Through all of this, and this, Jason, I'm telling you, I'm saying this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this sounds miserable. But through all of this, and with great help from his crew, he finished.
That's Jason's awesome.
It is, Jack. I agree. I got a little bit of a kick out of Jason's closing statement in his Facebook race report. He says, while a flat road course may seem like an easy 100-mile race, this was top. Jason, there are no easy 100-mile races. And the one you described was really, really tough. So, Jason, congratulations finishing your first 100-miler. That's a PR, baby. This bell's for you. Let's go to Hertfordshire, England, the Lea Valley 50K Ultra. Our friend Amy was running the 25K there on the Ultra course. She had 21 miles on her training schedule. She's getting ready for the London Marathon, which comes up, I believe, the same weekend as Springtime Surprise. So 3 weeks away for that. She was doing the pre-race miles to get the total of 21, but she fell, so she ended up only with about 20. By the time she did her walking back and forth, she got 21, no big deal. Not a whole lot of signage on this course. This was different for Amy to be as part of an ultra. You said a couple places got confusing, but overall, mostly what they did is they just ran along a river, so there weren't a whole lot of changes to make, a lot of turns to make or decisions to make. Overall, I'm very pleased with how it went after that fall. Very flat, temperatures were nice. Something I hear in ultras all the time. The participants were friendly. The organizers were great. Good job, Amy. Glad you knocked that one out. We'll be looking forward to hearing about London also. In Largo, Florida, just up the road. How I didn't know about this one, I'm not sure. But there is a club that holds runs all over the U.S., and they held the Luau 15K in Largo. Trina and Jeff ran that one. Trina says about 60 people ran together on this one. It was a trail type run with a lot of out and back, so you're always seeing some of the other runners. That was a lot of fun. Got a really cool looking Luau medal. This is Trina's second 15K. She PR'd by 15 minutes. Let me do the math. That's a minute per kilometer. She picked up her pace. Pretty good. Monroe, Georgia, Catherine did the Fit to Achieve 5K, her first run back after an injury. Glad you're back, Catherine. Not a PR. Don't expect it, first run back after an injury. But she won the Most Creative Costume Award. This was not Disney World. Catherine had a nice costume, but I think even she was a little surprised to win that award. But congratulations. On to springtime surprise. Catherine raised a question on this one. No medal for this event. That seems to be the exception to me anymore, no medals. Maybe some small events have no medals, but most everything I go to anymore has a medal for all the finishers. You guys experiencing any runs that aren't giving out medals?
Most of the runs by me are basically t-shirts.
Yeah.
If that's it.
Yeah, there's some around here too that are just t-shirts.
I guess if you're raising for charity, I guess they figured, you know what, save the money for charity.
Yeah. I think the smaller local runs, of course, you've heard me tell my story about running in the 80s when none of them had medals. But now it seems that most do. But apparently Catherine's been running a bunch that don't, and she was wondering, what is it? She sees all these medal Mondays. She goes, are you people just all real fast and winning your age groups? No, they're going to larger events where everybody gets a medal. So that's become the rule. But obviously, as our friends here have said, there are still a number that don't. All right, let's go to Richmond, Virginia for the Dog Jog 5K. Jill and her, I think, again, I'm making an assumption. I think it's her husband because we got a photo with sequential bibs. So I'm guessing. If not, Jill, I apologize. Really cold and pouring rain. Greg and John, apparently the weather in the Northeast this weekend was miserable with a capital M.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're getting out of a lot of these runs. Jason talked about it. He was in North Carolina. Let's see. Raining, really cold. When I looked at this post on Facebook, I looked at the photo before I started reading the report, and I went, man, it looks like it was wet at that race. Jill and her husband said they crushed their first 5K ever. That's PRs times two. They had planned to walk this thing, but the crowd energy kind of pumped them up. And I think they wanted to hustle and get out of the rain, so they ran a bit. Now, looking forward to the summer virtuals, hopefully you were successful in registering for those today.
And here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Hot Dash 2024 happened, and Melissa did the 5K, and our friend Pamela from the Council of Costumes also did the 5K. I can attest to this. It was not hot, but rather quite cold that day, but Pamela said that they had a great time.
All right, back in Florida, the final race in this year's Track Shack Series in Winter Park, the Advent Health Winter Park Road Race 10K. Speaking of our buddy Tom, Adam, and Kim, the Muscle Mouse wife, you know, Adam, the trooper dude, of course, now we know Muscle Mouse Tom, they were there. Beautiful race, even while running over the cobblestones in Winter Park. Kind of a humid day down here in Central Florida, but for Tom, Adam, and Kim, three PRs. They will definitely be running Winter Park again. Tabitha and Mike were there. Tabitha and Mike did the distance dare. That's a 2-mile run, followed by the 10K. Mike kept a nice steady pace through both runs. The races came sequentially. You finished the 2-miler, then you started the 10. So Tabitha had very little time between the races, struggled a bit in the 10K, but kept moving and PR'd. Running that same event, the distance there, 2-mile and 10K, Monica. Monica making her first race report. Monica says at the end she got free plants. She walked away from these two races with 3 medals and 2 PRs. Finally, at the same race, the Advent Health Winter Park, Florida event, Laura was there. Laura did the 10K with her best friend, Marissa. It was Marissa's first 10K in 5 years and just her second race ever. Laura gets a post-pandemic, post-baby PR. Laura, we're counting it. Here's your bell. In Fort Liberty, North Carolina, formerly Fort Bragg, the Fort Liberty All-American Races. Mary Beth ran the half marathon. It was supposed to rain, but it held off. Conditions ended up being very good. Mary Beth missed her race goals, but her stomach turned to knots around mile 10. That makes it tough. This happens. Didn't meet her goals, but finished with a smile, and I think that is more than half the battle. Ray was there running the half. Ray shaved 1 minute and 45 seconds from the fastest half so far, so that's a PR.
So in South Carolina, in North Myrtle Beach, the Shamrock and Run half marathon happened. Our friend Dale was there. He got a proof of time and a PR and said that he was very grateful to our family here at the Rise and Run podcast for helping him with all the information about running in the rain, but the rain did in fact hold off. So that was great. Our friend Virginia was also there. She did her second half marathon and got a PR by 18 minutes and had a fantastic time. Congratulations, Virginia.
In Naples, Florida, the Naples Run for the Music 10K. David ran that one. Up in Boston, Massachusetts, Lauren was all set for the Run for the Fens 5K, but the race was shortened all the way down to a 4K due to heavy rain. Again, the Northeast had a rough weekend. Because of the rain, Lauren gave us a nice post-race picture of her on the porch at her home where she was nice and dry. And it was a very lovely photo. Lauren, thank you.
In New Holland, Pennsylvania, we have the Garden Spot Village Half Marathon. I'm very excited for our two rising runners that ran this race. First is Steve. He says it was cold and wet because, again, like most of the Northeast, we got slammed with rain. It did rain throughout the race. The temperature was around 40 degrees. He says the race was well planned with plenty of volunteers, and they did have Mylar and medals at the finish and lots of food to warm them up, which is wonderful to hear. So Steve originally was just going to run this race so he could just, you know, complete it, but he ended up with his second fastest half marathon time. And Lindsay was also there, and she completed the race, but also registered, and this is where the exciting part is, also registered for the Bird in Hand half marathon. So since both Steve and Lindsay ran Garden Spot, and they're both registered for Bird in Hand, that means they are eligible to receive the coveted Road Apple reward this September. If you don't know what the Road Apple award is, it's if you run Bird in Hand and Garden Spot, you get essentially horse droppings that are collected off the side of the road and they're bronzed up and put on the plaque. It's absolutely incredible to see. So congratulations to Steve and Lindsay. I'm so excited. I myself just registered for Bird in Hand just the other day, so I cannot wait for that race this coming September. In Temple Terrace, Florida, we had the 43rd running of the Driscoll's Strawberry Classic. Bridget was there. She said, believe it or not, there are hills in Florida, and they kicked her butt. However, she beat her 5K PR by 2 minutes. And she's so excited that the training is working and the medal is super cute. And they even got a package of strawberries after the run, which is always very nice. Also at this race was Andrea and Robert. Both of them ran the 10K that was part of this event. In Mobile, Alabama, the Azalea Trail Run, Christina was there along with Jody. She ran the 5K portion of this race. She says, chilly, windy, and rainy at the start, but it got better as they started. Ran through the city, had some rough spots, but she did great and with a nice, strong finish. Way to go, Jody. Next up, we have the Bridge and Dam Half Marathon in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. Caitlin was there. Lots of lovely views of the Lake of Ozarks. Hopefully Jason Bateman wasn't there, though. But you know, you got to watch out for those hills, she says. For someone from the flattest part of Illinois, she says it was rough, but she went into it with no expectations and came out with a PR.
And in Brenham, Texas, the Bluebell Fun Run happened. Amanda was there. She did the 10K. She got a PR and a proof of time and enjoyed the ice cream at the end. Our friend Kristen, running in makeup, was also there doing the 10K. She had lots of fun with her friends. She said there was lots of pills. She was able to beat her goal time by 4 minutes. And how's that for a PR? She got to go and hop on the bronze cow at the Bluebell Creamery with no assistance. So great job, Kristen. Our friend Kate was also there, and she did the half marathon. She said it was definitely hilly, but got to run downhill for the finish, and the Bluebell ice cream was waiting and not melted, even though she was a back of the packer. So great job to all three of you ladies.
I need to go back to Kristen's PR for a second here. Kristen's PR was climbing on that bull statue, unassisted, for the first time ever. I think we need a special, but let me see what I got here. Okay. All right. That's a special PR bell for climbing on the bull. All right, my friends, let's go to Charlottesville, Virginia for the Charlottesville 10-miler. David, rainy and cool morning in Virginia. David gets a 2-minute PR in this local 10-miler with a time of just a little under 1 hour and 5 minutes. In a 10-miler, my friends, do the math. That is smoking.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well done, David. David made a great point here, too, in his race report. He went out of his way to thank the volunteers. He goes, look, it's tough enough for us running in the cold and rain, but the volunteers just standing there, that's pretty rough. So thank you to them. And David, thanks for pointing that out. That's a very good point. In Middleton, Rhode Island, the Aqued Neck 10K, Heidi was there. Heidi's running in gale strength winds, gale warnings put up before this event. Yikes. Ended up running directly into the wind on one segment. Still did very well. Very flat. Temperatures were okay. The participants were friendly, and the race was well organized. Still in New England, in Westbrook, Connecticut, the Daisy Dash 5K. Sue's first run since January, finished third in her age group. This, and we haven't talked about the Connecticut 169 for a little while, was Sue's city number 148. Getting closer, 21 to go. Rachel was also there. Saw Rachel taking a photo with Sue. Wrapping up Saturday in the Miami area, there's a series of races that take place at airports. This one, the MIA Runway 5K at the Opa-locka Airport. Ravi said it was kind of cool for South Florida for a 5K. Really enjoyed running on an airport runway, especially with airplanes taking off and landing right next to you. All right, let us go to Sunday in the Netherlands, in Haaksbergen, the 10-miler in Haaksbergen. See, our Dutch friends are always throwing these at me. I appreciate the challenge. Laura,
Laura, it's been a while since we've heard from Laura. Good to hear from you, my friend. Kind of cool. 7 degrees centigrade, which is about 44 Fahrenheit, didn't warm up during the day. Rain started just to make things even more pleasant. Small local race, two loops. The first loop, Laura was doing some drafting. She was ducking behind other runners, using them as a shield against the wind. See, it wasn't just the Northeast U.S. that was windy. It was windy in the Netherlands. But then the five-mile runners started at the same time, but the second loop around, there were less. There weren't, the five-mile runners were done. So she was into the wind on her own. She stuck with it, did her best. She's getting faster all the time. Managed a proof of time for her next Disney run. Oh, and an 8 minute and 52 second PR for a 10 miler. Way to go, Laura. In Seattle, the Cherry Blossom 10K, Christina said this one, she had some challenges at the beginning. Comically hard, in her words. Huge line for toilets, and once she got there, her water bottle, headphones, and bib slid to the floor in the toilet. Yeah, not great. Slight twist of her ankle before the start gate. But she finished. And that's the bottom line. Way to go, Christina. Vanessa was there, too. Vanessa said it was a great race. In Salem, Massachusetts, the Black Cat 10-miler. Rachel and Ken ran that one, as did Avery. Cold in Salem. 14-degree wind chill, despite some hills and the weather. Avery notched a 21-minute PR. And this 10-miler was good for a marathon proof of time. Despite all the weather and the problems, it was a fun time. Lots of scenic ocean views up there in Salem, Mass. Let's continue on to Jacksonville, Florida, the Loopapalooza. I only picked that one because I like saying Loopapalooza. And I like it so much that I decided it would be a great time to ask our friend Lisa to join us in the Race Report Spotlight. Hiya, Lisa.
Hi.
How you doing, kiddo?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got to say Loopapalooza twice already. That's not bad.
Please, please. Not too many of those.
All right, I'm done. It may sneak back into the conversation, but I won't force it. Lisa, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. You got quite a story to tell us. Let's start it from the beginning, if we can. Lisa, how did you get started with running?
So I've been running since 09. I started because I wanted to be healthier. And then in 2020, I was working a ton and got out of running, and I had what seemed to be a stroke, but it wasn't a stroke. I have functional neurological disorder, which causes me to have seizures, lose my speech. I have aphasia. So I know sign language fluently. I couldn't talk for 3 years. I had 78 seizures. Yeah. Wow. In September 2020.
78 in the month of September.
Yeah.
Couldn't talk for 3 years.
Correct.
Wow. 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 I knew we had, I mean, we, I don't know if we've met or not, Lisa, but I'm familiar with your story.
We met at Space Coast last
year.
Oh,
shucks. I should have remembered that. I should have remembered that, but, yeah, I always embarrass myself when I do that. Hey, we haven't met, have we? Yeah, we have, you dummy.
We had lunch, dinner, you know.
It's all good.
But I knew it was quite a story, but I didn't know it was in that depth. Now, I interrupted you a little bit. I was asking how you got started running. You talked about the problems and the no speech for 3 years and 78 seizures in September. Pick us up from there.
So I was having seizures every day, about six a day for 3 years. And I wanted to get back to running. I just didn't know how, because the doctors actually overdosed me on medication and I developed atrophy. None of the doctors prescribed physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, nothing. So I knew enough about working out that I needed to start very, very, very small and get off the couch and just start moving. And so I very slowly started building up, and I would start with just walking a block. Like, I started walking around the house, and once that, then I built on that and I actually got outside. And I noticed when I started adding the miles, my seizures stopped, like, slowed down daily, and they eventually stopped. So the only time I have them now is when I run. And that's why I run with a guide.
Yeah, a little bit of irony there in that they stopped when you started exercising, and now they've kind of switched that they only happen when you're running.
Correct. But I've got to be pushing the pace. Like, it, if my body's under stress, that's when they happen. If it's really, really hot out and I'm trying to, like, be faster, that's when they tend to happen.
Which in Florida happens.
Right.
The hot part. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to get to this race in a minute here. That's what we wanted to talk about. But when did you get back into organized races?
It was about 21, 22. I'd say 22, like, really hard. Like, I really started doing more and more.
Do you take someone with you when you train?
I run with groups. So Tuesday nights, I typically have group run. And Thursday nights. And then I do meet friends on Saturdays for long runs.
So if you have a seizure while running, there's someone who knows you and is there and able to help you.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really admire your courage. I do. It's a great story. And it's a great story of how to get back into things, how to take things slowly, and how to conquer some pretty, pretty serious problems. Now, let's get back to last weekend in Jacksonville. You were signed up for your first ultra. Well, tell us about it.
My friend Mike Martinez is a race director of Sombrero Running Events, and we have been friends for close to 10 years. He has pressured me or enabled me for probably two to do a 50K or to do my first ultra. Just try it. He's like, just try it. You'll like it. You'll like it.
Uh-huh.
So I signed up and I was like, I'm going to try it. We'll see how my body does. We'll see what happens. So that's how I signed up for it and got into it.
How did it go?
He ended up telling me, he's like, it's a smaller race. You won't really need a guide. So I was trusting him. I trusted him on that. There's only 100 runners signed up for the race total. So it was a lot smaller than I'm used to. It was a mile and a quarter loop. So you're doing loops. So you would pass by like the aid station or the checkpoint. So if you needed to take a break, you could stop. Take a break, fuel up, hydrate. I did have two seizures. The first seizure, I ended up at, like, right before the checkpoint. So after that, I was like, and I was running at that point. I normally do 30-30 intervals when I run. And I was doing that. I was like, I'm going to walk it because I don't have a guide. And if I continuously have seizures, they exhaust me if I have a lot of them. So I made up my mind to walk it. And then I met up with my friend Tamara, who I had seen at other trail races. And that was probably about mile 14. And she was walking. And so she ended up giving up her race to stay with me and guide me, pace me, educate me. Because I don't know anything about ultras. I know it's a lot harder than, you know, a marathon. But I didn't know I needed to switch my shoes out and take 15-minute breaks and fuel. Like, I have to fuel a lot more too, because my sugar tends to dip when I have my longer runs. So she ultimately got me across the finish line.
That's awesome. Now, this was a 12-hour event. Is that correct?
It was a 12-hour event. It was not about how fast you could do it. It was just a matter of getting it done.
Yeah. And how much what distance were you able to complete?
I ended up doing 31.1, so it was the full 50K.
50K, yeah.
We did cut, like, we were supposed to make a whole nother loop, but it would have put me over almost by a half a mile, and I have fibromyalgia on top of my seizures, so I was already in a ton of pain. So I was pushing through the pain just to finish the 50K.
Well, you know, 50K is a gateway distance. You know that. People yeah. do 50Ks, then it's 50 miles, then 100 miles. You're doomed. Doomed.
You'll be running with Jack.
One and done. One and done.
One and done.
Yeah.
John, let's schedule her for, I don't know, 2 weeks from now. See how
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to Dopey.
Dopey, heck. Dopey's an impressive distance, for crying out loud. 48.6 miles. Yeah, I know it's 4 days, not 12 hours, 24 hours, but golly. Have you done Dopey before?
I'm going on my sixth Dopey.
Sixth Dopey, yeah. So you've done one more than me. You know exactly what you're talking about there. That's not easy.
No, it's not.
What are you signed up for next? Is it Dopey? Well, we haven't signed up for Dopey yet, so.
Well, I am signed up for Dopey. I run with Kelsey's Hope, so I've already got my link and started fundraising for that. I'm glutton for punishment, so I'm signed up for a 5K on Saturday.
This Saturday.
It's going to be a Pirates run in Fernandina.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
Other than that, I'll be at Spring Surprise. I'm doing the 10K and the 10-miler.
All right. Well, I'll see you there. John, you're not going to springtime, are you?
No, if it is, it's going to be a surprise for me.
That'll be a real springtime surprise.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
So I saw you ran as a dinosaur. Was there any special reason why you did that?
I ran in a dinosaur for 5 miles. So on Monday, I've done this once before, but like I said, I already have my link for Dopey and I was fundraising for Kelsey's Hope. So I made a post and said, hey, if I raise $200 for Kelsey's Hope by Saturday, I will walk the first 5 miles of the 50K in the dinosaur. So I did the first 5 miles in the dinosaur and the rest with no dinosaur.
Lisa, thanks. Thanks for taking your time to talk with us. Thanks for this motivating story of perseverance and gutting things out. And we're proud of you. We're proud to have you in the family, and we're real happy you joined us on tonight's episode.
Thank you for having me.
Moving on, we're in New Jersey, Basking Ridge, to be specific, the Spring Distance Classic 15K. Heather was there. Heather said it was just about flooded, and the race was canceled. Heather went home, gathered wood to build an ark, although she did run with some local Galloway friends later that day. Hatfield, Massachusetts, the Black Birch Vineyard 10-miler, Christina. Christina tells us there was a cat at the vineyard. There's also a DJ. It was 28 degrees and sunny. There was a hill early on in the race, around mile two, where she presumes that dreams go to die. There were food trucks and, for her, a brand new shiny PR. Oh, and there was wine at the finish. And in case you forgot, there was also a cat. Claremont, Florida, the Lake Mineola race weekend. Jared was there. Jared ran the half. Mary ran the half, a beautiful course along the lake. Said the after party's fantastic. Nice weather in Central Florida made for a good time. Mary Jo was there. Loves how the course runs around the lake and how they run various races here, but they vary them the courses a little bit, so that's entertaining. Mary Jo did the 10K, ran the 10K, and ran a PR, or so she thinks. Not 100% positive, knows she ran an age group PR, so we'll hit the bell for that.
On the sidelines, some spectators brought puppies just to cheer the racers along. Christina did the 5K there, got to see a gorgeous sunrise, and got first place in her age group. Nicely done, everyone. Rockville, Maryland, the MCRRC Piece of Cake 5K and 10K. Kay left us this recorded race report.
So I put on our race report that I was going to do the Montgomery County Roadrunners Club Piece of Cake 5K or 10K. I opted to do the 10K because this year I'm really pushing myself to run at my full race potential and to conquer this fear of getting injured. I run much slower than I think I'm capable of because I'm always scared that I won't be able to finish out my run or race season. So today was going to be the first of a few attempts at some proof of time to get these better corrals. For those of you who are closer to me, you know that I keep getting stuck in the last corral and mad dash at the start of a race to just try to get enough time between me and the balloon ladies to have as much fun as possible. So I opted to do today's 10K. And I think that I am closer to proof of time, guys. I finished the 10K in under an hour and 9 minutes. I pushed at the end so that the clock could be under nine. I will wait for the official results later today. But I'm here now in the car so that you all don't hear the wind. It was 30 degrees this morning. Yeah, it is currently 37 degrees outside, and it feels like 30. And this was also a half costume trial run for the Cherry Blossom 10 miler that I will be doing at another attempt for proof of time. So I am amazed that I managed to run out here in a tank top. Yeah, I used to be the one with five layers running. But it was cold, it was hilly, I am like Jack, I don't look up race courses ahead of time, so I found out this week through a social media post that this is going to be hilly and from a couple of runners today. And I conquered each hill. I said none of these are going to stop me from getting closer to my proof of time, and they did it. They slowed me down, maybe one or two did, but I am really excited, guys. I'm trying to keep some tears back in because I'm pushing myself, and I'm seeing I can do it. And so that is my race report for today. I will post the official final time when I get it, and a picture when they post them, and happy running to everyone out there.
Kay, here's your PR bell for the half. Oh, wait, Kay's not done yet. She has one more thing to say.
This is my apologies and alibi, I guess. I also wanted to say thank you to all the volunteers that came out today because when we stopped at our water station, I saw a couple with their hands shaking. So I just appreciate their commitment to staying out there and providing us fuel, knowing that the cold was getting to them. So just thank you for all the volunteers at the Piece of Cake 5K Center.
All right, thanks, Kay. In Philadelphia, the Philly Love Run Half Marathon, Julia was there. In Glendale, Arizona, the Arizona Walk of Courage, Molly did the 5K, said it definitely went better than last week. Last week, Molly had returned to running for the first time in a while, so glad to see she's doing even better. Jennifer was there and ran the 10K with friends. Wrapping up Sunday at Minute Maid Park in Texas, Katrina and her children, Lucas and Olivia, ran, let's see here, Lucas and Olivia PR'd by 8 minutes. That's two bells, please. I believe they're now signed up for the virtuals, so Lucas and Olivia are going to be 5K experts by the end of this summer. You may remember from an earlier race report, Katrina told us that they're the family that the DJ knows when they show up for local events. When they walk up,
he greets the bear family is in the house. Not quite done. On Monday in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Laurie ran the Night Owl 5K, had fun running with her best friend, and that wraps up the race report for episode 131. All right, my friends, thank you again for spending the time with us. Looking forward to seeing you real soon. Hey, look for the announcement of Tom's weight training at the top of our Facebook page. No Zoom call this week. Had one last week. We'll have one again next week. Hope you can make it. All right, my friends. And if you run, you know you are our friend. It has been a pleasure. Until we see you again, happy running.
The Rise and Run podcast discusses general information about Run Disney and is in no way affiliated with Run Disney or the Walt Disney Company. Any information or advice discussed on this podcast should not be considered medical advice and should always consult with your healthcare provider or event organizer.